First John chapter number 5 this morning, and I hope you've been following us along. We've been preaching about being an overcomer. What is an overcomer? And then the blessings that go along with being an overcomer. And so just as a text verse that we've been preaching from in 1 John chapter number 5, and if you'll stand with me just a moment today, if you can, if it's not a hindrance to you, let's stand. We'll read together a couple of verses of Scripture. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 4, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Over in the book of Revelation chapter number 2 and verse 17, the Bible said this, John again the writer, and he said, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we want to praise your name, glorify your name. Thank God that we've got a better place to go to. Thank God for the good song and the Spirit of God that's been present here this morning. I pray that he might manifest himself, touch every heart. Lord God, I pray you'd save that lost sinner today that may have come in that doesn't know thee as Lord and Savior of their life. And Father, I pray for Christians today who are downtrodden and defeated. And Lord God, I pray that they breathe a breath of sigh of relief and realize they are an overcomer. We have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, because of the victory on Calvary, we can walk in victory. And I pray, God, that you might make it real unto us this morning. Speak to every heart, and Father, we'll praise your name. We'll glorify your name. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, and for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open. And John said in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 4, he said that we are an overcomer. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What is an overcomer? Out of these verses here in 1 John chapter number 5, we find the word overcomer occurs many times. The word overcomer is a Greek word, nikeo. From that we get our word Nike. And so if you've ever had a pair of Nike tennis shoes, then praise God, when you put them on, you are a victor. That is a victor's shoe to wear. But the Bible says, because that we have been born of God, we've been birthed into the family of God, we are an overcomer. Sad to say, many Christians though never live an overcoming life. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Beloved, I want to tell you this morning, I don't want to just get into heaven on the skin of my teeth. I want to get into heaven being a victorious Christian, waving high the bloodstained banner and thanking God for everything he's done for me. I want to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. And he said in Revelation, there's some blessings that go along with that. Last Sunday morning we preached about him that overcometh, he will not be hurt of the second death. And we preached about there is a first death, but there is a second death. But then this morning, I wonder, in the time we have, John says to him that overcometh, there are two very important things that God's going to do for us. He said, first of all, he's going to give us of a hidden manna. And then he said, we're going to get a white stone and our name engraved on that white stone. And for a little while this morning, I want to preach to you on about being an overcomer. And hear the blessings that go along with that. First of all, go back in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And so first of all, we understand understand that an overcomer is going to be able to eat of a hidden manna. You say, preacher, don't understand that. I'm glad you asked me that question. First of all, we got to understand what manna is before we understand what the hidden manna is. And so if you have your Bibles, go back to the book of Exodus and chapter number 16 and verse number 4. For there we find the first mention of this manna. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 4, the situation is the Israelites have come out of Egyptian bondage. And beloved, may I say that everything that happened to Israel, according to the book of Corinthians, happened for our examples. That means that the things they went through, the struggles they went through, the trials they went through, the hardships they went through, were examples for us. They said that when they come out into the wilderness, there was no water to drink. But thank God Moses went over and smote the rock, and from the rock came water. And the Bible tells me in the New Testament that Jesus is that water. Aren't you glad today that for the day that you came and drank from the fountain that never runs dry? Aren't you glad for the day that fountain that came up quenched that thirst in your soul? Oh, thank God today the world can't do it. Drugs can't do it. This lifestyle can't do it. The things of this life can't do it. But when you drink from the fountain that never runs dry, the Bible said it'll be a spring rushing up inside of you. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Thank God. When that spring starts bubbling up in my soul, Sister Gail, it starts coming out my eyes. Amen. I'm one of them crying preachers. Make no bones about it. Make no apology about it. Thank God. When he squeezes my heart, it's got to come out my eyes. Glory to God. It's a spring that springs up inside. But then as the Israelites come along, they said, Moses, we don't have nothing to eat. There's no McDonald's. There's no Hardee's. There's nothing around. What are we going to eat? Moses said, don't you worry. He said, God will provide you something to eat. And then the Bible said here in chapter 16, verse number 4, look what the Bible said. For here he said, then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you. He said, you won't have to work for it. Glory to God. Amen. He said, it's going to come out every morning. It's going to be right there on the ground. It's going to be a little white wafer. It's going to be a little white hunk of bread laying on the ground. And the folk will go by and pick it up, and it'll be bread for today. Aren't you glad that God supplies each and every need? I'm glad to tell you, just when the meal barrel's about ready to run dry, just about when the well's about to run dry, my heavenly Father will put more in than you can take out. Oh, listen, you take one handful out, he'll put two back in. Amen. You give to the Lord, he said, I'll bless you. Amen. That's just a little extra, it didn't cost you nothing for that. But I'm glad that my God will supply every need. Now he said there in chapter 16, verse 4, he said that's going to be the bread from heaven. Now look at the same chapter, flip over or turn over to chapter 16, verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. Oh, because of why? For they wished not what it was. My friend, the word manna means this. What is it? That morning, I believe, Sister Gail, that first morning that they walked outside, they saw this bread laying around, and they looked at one another, Brother Jim, and they said, what is it? What is it? And that's what manna means. It's a what is it? I mean, friend, praise God, they had fried what is it? They had baked what is it? They ate what is it for morning, noon, and night? Amen? The bread from heaven. You say, what did it taste like? According to the Bible, it was like wafers with honey. Oh, the sweetness of God, isn't it? The Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I got news for you, friend. There's nothing in this world that'll ever satisfy your life. There's nothing in this world, but when you drink from the fountain and you eat from the bread of life, you'll be satisfied. Oh, you'll not be satisfied with these things down here, but from the bread from heaven you will be. And so here, God gave them Moses, God gave them manna, and God gave them bread every day. Now, he gave some instructions. Notice real quickly now, we move on, verses 19 and 21. And he told these Israelites, he said, now, 6 days a week, you go out and you gather that bread. But he said, don't you gather anything on the Sabbath day. He said, because if you gather it on the Sabbath day, it'll be out there, but don't you leave it alone. And he said, if you gather on the Sabbath day, it'll be eat up with worms. Well, some of them folk, they're just like Baptists, as hard-headed as a brick, say amen. And they didn't believe what God said. I don't know about you this morning, but listen, I believe this inspired book of God today is full of the promises of God, and everything in there is going to come to pass, amen. I'm not worried this morning about who's going to mash the button and try to start another nuclear war, thank God. He's got it all under control. Now, in verse 19, Moses said, let no man leave off till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it had bread, worms, and stank. Moses was wroth with them. And God said, you'll gather that bread, you'll eat it. But he said, now listen, you don't gather it on the Sabbath day. Now notice something here. The Bible said it tasted like honey and wafers. But then something happened when you come over to Numbers chapter number 11. In Numbers chapter 11, for the sake of time, I'll read it to you. Here's what these Israelites, same group of people, they came over and they kept eating this bread. They kept eating this bread. But in chapter 11, verse number 6, they said in verse 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. We remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. If you'd listened to them, you'd have thought they was having a picnic 24/7. And yet, my friend, they were slaves down in Egypt. I got news for you. There's nothing in Egypt I want to go back to. This world is not my home. I'm only a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't fit at home in this world anymore. This world isn't my home. These Israelites said, "We would to God we had it better down yonder in Egypt. We were slaves. Yes, we were slaves. We were bond slaves. But we had all the food, the melons and the leeks and the garlics and all that to eat." They were a bunch of liars. They didn't. Well, now notice the next verse if you got your Bible open. And then they started complaining about this bread that God was giving to them. And they said, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And he goes on to describe that. And they says there in those verses that this manna now has tasted like oil in verse number 8, fresh oil. They put that manna in their mouth and they're, What happened? Did God change the taste of the manna? No, my friend, it tasted the same thing. The only thing that changed were their taste buds. You see, beloved, when you come to the house of God and you feast upon the things of God, you'll enjoy the things of God. But when you get back out there in the world, all of a sudden the things of God taste like oil. It don't have no taste for them. But I'm glad to tell you, honey, I'm glad to be where God's at. And I want to feast upon Him. Now, quickly this morning, as we move on, and so here in chapter number 16, back in Exodus chapter 16, and verse 33, here's where I want to get to. Is that God told Moses, I want you to take some of that manna. Now watch it. If you got your Bible open, verse 33, Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. Now here's what happened. God said, I want you to take a pot and I want you to put some manna in it. And I want you to put it inside the tabernacle. Not just inside the tabernacle. I want you to put it inside the Holy of Holies. Not just inside the Holy of Holies. I want you to put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Yes. Hidden from view. Nobody could walk in there. Only the high priest, one time of year, could go into the Holy of Holies. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was a pot of manna. Hidden from view. Nobody could see it. Nobody could touch it. Nobody could eat of it. But thank God the day that Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to twain. It came, the omnipotent hand of God opened up the way into the holy places. And now, beloved, I want to tell you something. I've stepped inside the holy place. I've been able to commune with God because Jesus is my Savior. He's my advocate. He's my all in all. I've got free access to God. I can come into the presence of a holy God, approach the throne of grace, and find help in the time of trouble. Couldn't do that in the Old Testament, but you can do it now. In the book of Hebrews, it confirms what was in the Ark of the Covenant was that pot of manna. So you say, preacher, you almost losing me now. So how does that play in Revelation? Here it is. In Revelation, here the Bible said that those that have overcome, those that have fought, those that have strived, those that have have walked in victory, those that have not been a defeated Christian, those that have not been discouraged, those that have not been beaten down and trodden down, thank God, we'll enjoy some blessings. We'll be able to sit down and enjoy the hidden manna. You say, what is that hidden manna? It's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from God. And he said, when we get to heaven, what a joy it'll be for the saints of God to fellowship with him that sits on the throne, him that died for us, to look upon his face for the very first time. What a joy that'll be. Folks sometimes say, preacher, what's heaven going to be like? I read about it. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, river of life. I read about it. But I like to tell you, my friend, if there was no gold, if people did grow old, if the walls were not of jasper, if there was no streets of gold, still Jesus would be what makes it heaven for me. Thank God one day, my friend, we'll sit down with the throne of God, beside the throne of God, with the Lamb of God. We'll be able to have fellowship forever and ever and ever, feasting upon his presence, enjoying upon his presence. You know, I worry about some folks. Some people say, you know, I just don't like going to church. I just don't care about going to church. And Miss Kay, you know, I'd say to those folk, if you don't like going to church, you best not go to heaven. Amen? Because if you don't like praising the Lord and singing and worshiping God, you won't like heaven. But thank God I'm going to be in that crowd forever and ever and ever to feast upon him, to look upon him that died for me, as wretched, as vile, as wicked. Thank God for a Savior that loved me and gave himself for me. And I'll be able to enjoy the hidden manna. Now quickly, he said there's another blessing right here in this verse. And we'll get a white stone. What in the world is a white stone? Well, in biblical times, in this day, it was common practice for a judge to decide a court case. He would hear all the arguments. He'd hear the defense. He'd hear the prosecution. And then the judge would decide whether he's guilty or not. And instead of walking out today like they do and they hand over a piece of paper to the judge, and then they have the bailiff, or they have the foreman of the jury to read that. The judge would take a vase, and he would know what his verdict was ahead of time. The person sitting out there where Sister Gail is would not know. And the judge would take that vase, and he would take it and shake it, and then he would roll out the stones. And if a black stone come rolling out, sister, you're guilty. You're guilty. But if a white stone came rolling out, Brother Jim, you're acquitted. You're acquitted. Can I tell you something? I stood one day guilty before God. I stood one day, my sins placed upon me. I stood one day on the auction block of sin, and the devil said, he's not worth a plug nickel. But my Savior stepped up and said, I'll buy him. And the devil said, it'll cost you. And Jesus said, I'm willing to pay. I'm willing to give my blood for him. And Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, purchased my eternal redemption, saved my unworthy soul. And thank God, when I stand before him today, I don't stand as a guilty sinner. I stand in the righteousness of Jesus. I've been acquitted. Thank God I've been forgiven. A white stone. Two other things about that white stone. Sometimes folks, if they would see one another and they were going to be gone for a while, they'd take one of these white stones and they would crack it in half, and they'd put my name on one side and give it to that person that I wouldn't see for a long time, and they'd put their name on the other side, and we would exchange those stones as a constant reminder that there's coming a day that we're going to be able to put them stones back together. There's coming a day that the fellowship's going to be restored. Listen, 2,000 years ago, according to that book you hold in your hand, the Lord Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, can I tell you something? Not trying to hurt your feelings this morning, but unless you come the Jesus way, you'll not come at all. Unless you come the blood-stained banner way, you'll not come at all. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's not by signing a pledge card. It's not by putting money in offering plate. It's not going down yonder and getting dunked in the baptismal waters. Thank God it's by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and he has written my name down. Hallelujah. I've got a new name written in glory. New name. And one of these days when I see him, oh, listen, that white stone, I believe, he'll say, listen here, you see your name, Frank Thacker, right there? What a blessing that is. Last of all, that white stone. We have our Olympic athletes today, and they strive for a gold medallion placed around their neck. Sometime in the olden days in the Greek Olympics, they would strive for a laurel wreath placed on their heads. But sometimes, after an athlete has done all that he can do, and he's run as hard as he can run, and he's first to come in, as the trophies are given away, they'd walk over to him and they'd give him a white stone. Because the race has been run. You're a victor. My friend, you may not live a victorious life, but that's your own fault. Amen. Because you see, my Savior went to the Calvary's cross and he tasted death for every man. Amen. He won the victory on Calvary. And now, my friend, I can have a victory in Jesus. Why? Because of him, not because of me. But he has put everything under his feet. All the demons of hell are subject unto him. There is no other name that's above the name of Jesus. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of all. I'm looking for that day. Thank God. Listen, I'm looking for that day when the devil will have to utter out of his mouth, he is Lord. He is Lord. Either you'll say that on this side of eternity or you'll say it on the other side of eternity. For me, I want to thank God I said it over here. For there was a time as an 11-year-old boy that I knelt and I said, Lord Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you save my soul? Would you take me to heaven when you die? And thank God, there was a new name written down in glory. And now I'm running this race. And sometimes this race gets hard. Sometimes, the other night, I woke up, this old leg of mine, and thank God, Brother Jimmy, he felt sorry for me and made me a cane. Amen? And I praise God, if y'all don't do what I say, we're going to beat you up now. Amen? Brother Jim, the other night I woke up in the middle of the night, and my leg, I was having severe leg cramps, and I had to get my wife. I was about in tears. You know, Sister DeGale, I've been running this race now. Sometimes it's been hard. Sometimes it's been easy. Sometimes I wanted to quit. Sometimes Brother Jim just wanted to throw the towel in. Sometimes I say, what's the use? Nobody cares. But then the Holy Ghost of God will nudge up next to you and he'll say, son, just continue on. The journey's almost over. The race is almost run. You can see the finish line. Press on, O weary pilgrim. Press on. It's in the end. It's just inside. And when we cross that finish line, thank God, when I preached my last message, prayed my last prayers, Brother Mays used to say, and I've done all that I'm supposed to do, he'll say, come on home. Come on home. And thank God, I believe, Sister Joanne, there'll be a white stone waiting for all those that have run the race with patience. They've not given in. They've not surrendered. They've not compromised. They're faithful unto death. Amen. That's where I want to be found. I want to be found faithful. Faithful. To him that overcometh, he'll be able to eat of the hidden manna. Continue fellowship with Christ for all of eternity. Him that overcometh, One of these days, my friend, when we get to heaven, glory to God, I won't have to stand there as a guilty sinner. I'll stand there as a son. I don't stand there in my righteousness. I stand there in His righteousness. Press on, a weary pilgrim. To him that overcometh, I will grant several blessings.